B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to the Other Identity Podcast. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The Other Identity. Thanks for sticking along with us this long. So the other big piece of news that we didn't discuss last segment, because it deserves its own segment, is that HBO Max and DC, Warner Brothers, have announced that the Snyder Cut would be released through HBO Max. But there's a little bit of caveats here, because apparently the Snyder Cut isn't actually done, and HBO has said that it will probably take upwards of $30 million to complete it. Zack Snyder has also came out and said that the original Justice League movie has actually only used about a quarter of the footage that he actually filmed, and some of that footage includes Darkseid. Now, here to help us sort of talk about this, break this down, you know, just kind of mull around this topic, is the newest addition to what I am calling the Other Identity League of America, the OLA. I would like to welcome to the show Kevin Kelly, a.k.a. The Opinion. Kevin, welcome to the show.
The big reveal for my superhero name. That was
yeah.
I like it. I don't hate it.
You're our version of the Question.
That's good. we need to get him the faceless feature mask.
Yes.
So,
Kevin, you'll obviously, you know, be joining us here on occasion on the show when we think you have something to bring to it. But the other big thing that you're doing is you're actually going to be running some companion pieces for each episode each week that will be featured over at checkpointxp.com.
Yes, so since we're talking about the Snyder Cut today, I will be kind of writing up a kind of like everything you need to know about what the Snyder Cut actually is and what to kind of expect, and, you know, kind of things that are going to look to be altered, and the differences between, you know, Joss Whedon's ultimate, you know, version of the film that ended up coming out in 2017, and you know, where Zack Snyder may go. You know, as far as new directions.
If you're listening to this episode, then his first article about sort of where to start on some of Kelly Thompson's most recent works can be found, again, over at our website, checkpointxp.com. So go and check that out. But first, yes, let's talk about the Snyder Cut. Because, you know, this is something that obviously people have been wanting to see since the original movie came out and bombed. The Snyder fanboys out there are of the opinion that it was Joss Whedon that ruined that movie. And if Zack Snyder would have had his perfect vision, that it would have been great. And the first thing...
Because God knows Joss Whedon doesn't know how to direct a superhero movie, so he would steer it into the ground.
I think the first
He only
thing,
did two of them.
Yeah.
That grossed $1 billion each.
The first part of this that I think I have the problem with is, you know, we've been campaigning, or they've been campaigning for release the Snyder Cut this whole time as though it's something that existed, and now we're learning that, oh no, it doesn't exist, and it's going to need $30 million to finish it. But I think the bigger thing here is that, and Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is your, you know, one of your big takeaways, is that Warner Brothers caving into this sets a pretty dark precedent, you know, for just the industry going forward.
First of all, before I start, I feel like Ben kind of characterized me as having a fondness for Batman v Superman. I do not have a fondness for Batman v Superman.
You
I
wrote get an that essay on it.
I did
you
write an essay on it. But okay. We'll get into that in a second. But I do think this does set a bad precedent as far as Warner Brothers kind of just... I said that, you know, it's kind of a slippery slope as far as it could lead to, you know, ultimately taking the power and the creative influence out of the hands of people, like talented people who are hired to make these films. It kind of seems like the next level up of like the Sonic movie controversy, how a studio was willing to bend to the will of, you know, maybe not even a popular opinion. In the case of the Sonic movie, it was a popular opinion, but this seems like more of a vocal minority.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, because I don't even necessarily think that the idea that you could bend to a vocal minority, right? Because I think that we already see what you're talking about in a lot of other popular media, right? Game of Thrones, you know, was another one where people were so upset about it, they petitioned for a redo of the last season, which thankfully they didn't get. But you also see a lot of it in the most recent trilogy for Star Wars, which...
I was about to say, I am a Star Wars fan. Yep. I have quite the familiarity with this kind of discourse.
Which I think that's probably the best example of how it can ruin it, because I feel like for each of those films, they were listening to a different vocal minority. Right. Nobody was happy with any of it, and so now what you ended up getting was what should have been the swan song for the original trilogy. You now have three movies that have completely different visions that ping pong back and forth between one another.
My whole thing about the Snyder Cut, like, it's just completely aside, it just seems so reactionary, firstly, but my own personal feelings on the final cut of Justice League aside, and my feelings on Zack Snyder aside, I'm not really sure what this is going to accomplish. Ben Affleck's not coming back. He's not gonna reprise the role as Batman. He's already been replaced. Henry Cavill apparently is coming back, but is the goal of this to revitalize the DCEU? Like, what point is being proven here? What statement is being made?
The fact that it's coming out on HBO Max, it's that they want viewers.
So yeah, here's the thing. It's like, this feels like something you should have had available at launch, because, like, part of the greater conversation around HBO Max, their selection at launch is not very enticing. And so this seems like kind of one of the perfect things. It could have been their Mandalorian, kind of, you know, akin to the launch of Disney Plus. But it doesn't really have anything that, like, you have to go there to be like, this is a developing thing that's happening, and you have to be on HBO Max to be able to witness it.
Mm-hmm. I think the larger problem here, I mean, the larger problems are many, but the larger problem for me here, and I will say, full disclosure, I have not seen Justice League, the 2017 version.
Lucky
and
you.
And even when Robbie said to me yesterday during our prep call, hey, do you want to watch Justice League, the 2017 version? I said, that will not be happening. So I have not seen it, but as someone who has observed trends for years in the comic book industry, the problem with Justice League, the biggest problem, was that it was a movie about characters coming together in the same way that Avengers was, and we were supposed to be excited to see them all sharing the screen. We weren't, because they weren't built up prior to the Justice League movie.
Having just rewatched this, honestly, an hour before we started this recording, that is the biggest issue. Yeah. There is a great, amazing scene, what could have been, between Bruce and Diana, where they're arguing about whether or not they should use the mother box to try and bring Superman back. And it falls flat because, first of all, Diana, you spent one battle with Superman, didn't even utter a word.
You don't know him.
Bruce, you tried to kill him because you thought he was a danger to society. Now you want to bring him back with tech you don't understand? Imagine if that same conversation was happening now in the Marvel Universe between Nick Fury and Captain Rogers over whether or not to bring Tony back.
Exactly.
That is a scene that I want to see.
The reason Avengers in the Marvel Cinematic Universe worked was because it was earned, right? We had to wait several years before we got there. So my larger point here is, and speaking to what Kevin said, releasing or creating or finishing the Snyder Cut does not solve that fundamental problem. It doesn't go back and make us care about these characters. We don't get a true do-over. So that's why I'm not sure. I think, Kevin, you said it best. Like, if the goal here is long-term reestablishment of some sort of DC extended universe, going back to the well with a movie that didn't work is not going to get us there, right? I don't know if we have to start over. I don't know if we have to utilize the fact that DC's good with stuff like Crisis, and maybe you can take elements and bring them forward. But I just don't see creatively what the end goal is here. Financially, I absolutely see what the goal is. Get people to watch HBO Max and mobilize this part of the fandom. But creatively, it just seems like such a misstep.
Well, I think that's your answer right there then, because creatively, I don't think DC has ever really understood where they're going or what it is they're doing. They just want to create something that makes money.
It's a fair point.
This loops into, like, now, because I wanted to keep my kind of personal feelings for the film and Zack Snyder aside, but now it's like, to when you look at, like, how do we think this actually is going to turn out? It's like, I still don't have faith in Zack Snyder, because, like, there's still this, like, there's still a lot of, like, the bad blood that carries over from Batman vs. Superman, because I don't feel like Zack Snyder has a good enough grip on what makes, like, what the fundamentals of a lot of these characters that he's been, you know, the custodian, like, he was kind of granted the to be the custodian of for, you know, the foundations of the DCEU. Like, you, it doesn't sound like, I don't understand how he's supposed to fix all of this stuff. Like, you fumbled Batman vs Superman. How that wasn't the most successful movie of all time. It's Batman and it's Superman fighting each other.
Yeah.
How do you fumble that?
You definitely bring up good points, but again, I don't think that this is, I don't think that Warner Brothers has any plans here. I think that this is definitely about HBO trying to bring viewers in and trying to make money there, because you're right. Originally, he was the custodian, but it doesn't make sense bringing him back now because they've started to find success in using, you know, brighter movies. Wonder Woman, Shazam, Aquaman even, right? So I think that DC has already figured out that they have to move away from what the original vision of Snyder, you know, what Snyder was trying to do. And this is definitely going to be more of an HBO type thing than anything else. But unfortunately, that is about all the time that we have today, guys. Kevin, thank you for joining the team. We look forward to having you on in the future and to see what it is that you bring to our ancillary content over at checkpointxp.com. Ben, as always, it's been a pleasure having you here. And guys, we'll be back next week. Same other identity time, same other identity channel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.